On a Thursday morning in March, an ambitious young doctor was reading the New York Times when something caught his eye. Within the decade, William Silverman would be regarded as one of the leading pediatricians in America. He would become director of neonatal intensive care at Babies Hospital of Columbia Presbyterian in New York, and he would gain a reputation for his insistence on evidence-based medicine, as in, prove it before you use it. William Silverman came of age in an era when doctors all too often followed their hunches down the path of disaster. In prosperous post-war sunny-side-up baby-booming America, the infant incubator, with its plastic dome modeled on the B-29 bomber, was standard equipment in hospitals. This was the good news. The bad news was the widespread use of treatments that hadn't been clinically tested. One theory held that since 2- and 3-pound humans can easily die from vomiting and diarrhea, it would be wiser not to feed them at all for the first few days. It worked. No more unwanted effluvia. Unfortunately, the patients died of starvation. Mortality rates shot up, and infants who survived had a higher risk of brain damage. Add starve a baby to the scrap heap of abandoned medical practices, along with, say, draining the blood out of someone who's sick. Another disastrous theory had to do with oxygen. If oxygen helped preemies breathe, the thinking went, then more of it ought to be better. As a result, a generation of infants, among them Stevie Wonder, was going blind because of a mysterious condition called retrolental fibroplasia. Later in the 1950s, William Silverman would be among the doctors to solve the puzzle. Everyone needs a hobby, and Dr. Silverman's was reading the New York Times obituary pages. No day was complete, he wryly told his colleagues, until he found out who'd died. On March 2, 1950, he picked up the paper and saw a most peculiar item, the subject of which was one Martin A. Cooney, age 80. This was a name no one would find in a medical textbook, yet according to the Times, the incubator doctor had treated preemies for half a century in American amusement parks. Coney Island, Atlantic City, World's Fairs. Outrageously, this fellow charged admission to look at his patients. And yet, he had some stellar European credentials. Very odd indeed. For a moment, William Silverman thought he had never heard of this man. And then, in the way that memory sometimes lifts the shade an inch, he realized that, yes, in fact, he had. Like millions of other people, he had visited Chicago's Century of Progress in 1933 and, now that he thought of it, he had passed a sideshow advertising living babies in incubators. This was long before the problem of retrolental fibroplasia, before most hospitals even treated babies in incubators, let alone gave them oxygen. The show, he recalled, wasn't in the Hall of Science, but out on the throbbing Midway. He was only 15 at the time, but even then, it struck him as bizarre. Had Martin Cooney been alive on March 3, 1950, the meticulously scientific William Silverman might have rung him up. And had the latter been in passable health, he'd doubtlessly have extended an invitation to one of the city's premier dining establishments. We can imagine the scene. The courtly European, well known to the maitre d', and the Cleveland-born doctor linger over rare gigot and no few glasses of wine. The room begins to empty for the evening. Martin Cooney has cleaned his plate of every delectable morsel, soaking the juices into the final iota of chewy bread. He waxes passionate about saving the tiniest lives, invokes his French mentor, the great Pierre Boudon, and at the mention of his late wife, May, sheds a tear into a linen handkerchief, weepily sentimental in old age. He deftly deflects every penetrating question. Exactly which medical school did he attend? Where precisely was he born? Why the devil would anyone practice serious medicine on the Midway? The wine is of a terrifically pricey vintage. When the second bottle is drained, Martin Cooney produces his wallet without so much as a glance at the tab. His guest gets up from the table with more questions than he came with, but this has been a most congenial meeting, and perhaps is the beginning of a lasting friendship. Alas, as noted in the Times, Martin Cooney was dead. And now, if such a thought may be indulged, he seemed to be teasing from beyond the grave, playing a game of catch me if you can. Who was this tantalizing man who practiced something akin to vigilante medicine?